on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good morning. Welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It's June 2nd, 2012. We've got the beginning of hurricane season going on here. This is for the Pacific. It started a bit earlier for the Atlantic. So far, things are looking good. But of course, you want to be prepared for anything that might happen. Even though they expect it to be a below normal hurricane creating season. I think the last time we had one, it was one of those below normal seasons as well. In the clubhouse, joining us this morning, Stina Sternberg, Golf Digest senior editor. She's at the ShopRite LPGA Classic. Dave Shedlowski, he'll be joining us from the Memorial. He's Golf Digest senior writer, Golf World contributor, author. Phil Long, the vice president of Access One Golf, be coming in to tell us why his putter is the best putter. And Dave Andrews, the author of Pops and Sunshine, he's also at ShopRite, and he's got some good news about what's going to happen with his book, something he's been pursuing for quite some time. Ryan Ballingy was going to join us, Golf Channel senior writer. He's at the Memorial. He's been called to duty. He'll be following Tiger, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to tell us about. Tiger had a really good round yesterday. He's actually had two good rounds, but really showed it yesterday. But first, let's listen to the people who make this show possible, our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
We've got a wind advisory for the summit of Haleakala, and it's been windy. I'm not going to complain, because if the south winds start to blow or they completely die out and we've got variables over the summer, we'll be wishing for these windy conditions. Partly sunny skies, breezy, scattered showers, windward and Mauka, isolated showers on the leeward side. That means we'll probably have a very hot day. Ko'olina, trade winds 15 to 25 miles an hour. They'll feel stronger, of course, as that wind comes down through the valleys. Let's go straight to our guest now. And Stina Sternberg, a Golf Digest senior editor, she joined Golf for Women in 2000, a former teaching pro and professional club fitter. In 2004, she became the host of 2 Days in Paradise. That was a regular travel segment. And before going into the publishing industry in 1999, she was owner and head pro at the Great Golf Pro Shop, an indoor teaching center, where she conducted 600 lessons a year. I love this part. She began playing at the age of 7, first entered the golf industry at the age of 14 when she began repairing golf clubs in pro shops as a part-time job. Welcome to the show, Stina Sternberg.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. I mean, your bio is fascinating. Did you? I understand.
I'm a nerd, what can I say?
Oh, we're both nerds. Watching the spelling bee with rapt attention. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. But you started, who taught you to repair clubs?
Well, actually, it was my dad's golf store. I grew up in Sweden, as you said, and my father had a couple of golf stores. My dad and my brother were both pros. My brother still is. And it was sort of, they wouldn't let me work in the shop at that young age, but they would let me work in the repair shop upstairs. And that's when I started and sort of got very into the whole, we were doing a lot of whipping wooden club heads and or ferrules on wooden clubs, and a lot of grip repairs and shaft exchanges and things like that were big back in those days. So that's where I got my start, and that's where my equipment geek side was born, so to speak. And that's still a big part of what I do at Golf Digest today, is covering equipment. I'm one of the 4 hot list judges for Golf Digest. I do all of the women's equipment, and now I'm involved in a lot of the men's stuff as well. So It's followed me for many, many years, basically.
That's great. I mean, I think you have the best beginning for, I think children should follow your lead.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, but it's fabulous. I mean, you get to know the workings of the tools that you'll be using to play the game.
Yeah, sure. And it's one of those things, though, that you really do have to be sort of nerdy to find interesting. And in order to be an equipment writer, you really have to have that deep interest in the topic, because it could be really boring if you don't.
Absolutely. So, I totally understand. But at the same time, children love to be hands-on,
yeah.
The crafting of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what it's very true for golfers in general. If everybody who played the game knew what really goes into the creation of a golf club and a golf ball, they would look at their equipment very differently, and they would actually care more about what equipment they're using. It's a fascinating industry and a fascinating science, especially in this day and age.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's way now. That's when I think of in the beginning of golf, I don't think of as being quite as nerdy as it's become with the physics that's involved.
Yeah, it's crazy with what they can do with customization these days and adjustability now that that's allowed according to the rules. Just, you know, the sky's the limit, it seems like, for as long as you stay within the rules, of course, but what the manufacturers are coming up with on the adjustability side, especially if you go out today and buy any golf club off the rack in a golf store, you're just an idiot. I mean, that's just the blunt but true way of putting it, because there's so much customization and adjustability available to you that sort of comes with the prize of the club, that if you don't get fitted for the equipment that you're buying today, you're just leaving strokes on the table. I mean, there's so much that can be done that you just need to go through before you walk home with that club. And I really hope that people are catching on to that. It seems like most golfers are. It's sort of fitting and customization and adjustability, that's the titanium of, you know, this decade. It's not like we've discovered a new material for clubs, but we have opened up an entirely new avenue and a new door for golfers to really get a lot more help out of their equipment just from this fitting.
And make the game fun.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really truly it. And anytime I do a lot of things with women's golf groups and appearances and meet with organizations like the EWGA and things like that, and I go to these places where I know that these ladies have spent a lot of money to be there for a few days and to play golf, and these are women who play a ton of golf, and it's not just exclusive to women. There are a lot of guys like that are like this too, but you see that they've got the $200 golf bag and the $300 pair of golf shoes and a nice outfit, and you know that they play 3-4 rounds a week. So they're obviously spending a lot of money on the sport, and then you look inside the bag and you realize that that's the last place they ever spent any kind of money. Some women especially still play with their husband's 15-year-old hand-me-down clubs with steel shafts, and sometimes you even see persimmon woods in there. And it's really frightening, because the purpose of playing golf is to have fun, right? And
one
to get better,
yes.
And to improve. And it is so much more fun when you do hit the ball well. And I hear this from women a lot. They say that I'm not good enough to get fitted, or I'm not good enough to get new clubs. And that is such a backwards way of thinking about it. I mean, Tiger Woods could play well with a set of hockey sticks. But you or we, the average players, are the ones who can really benefit from playing with the right equipment and from having stuff fitted to us. And with the launch monitors that are used in fitting today, you can really, truly dial in. I mean, the clubs can, you can walk out with something that's going to give you an extra 30 yards off the tee, even if you are little Mrs. Smith who only, you know, shoots in the 90s.
Yeah.
You can actually see that huge of a difference just by getting the correct specs in your driver.
So when you walk into a pro shop and they seem a little lackluster in their desire to assist you, you really need to put your foot down and say, I want this club fitted for me.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, it's been, especially for women, an intimidating atmosphere, the golf store, for forever. But if there's one thing that's changed a lot and that has actually become a positive or positive to look at out of this recession that we've been in for the last few years, it's that even that has changed. Even women now get a lot better service in golf stores because our dollars are just as good as the guys. And we have to sort of get over, we have to lose a chip on our shoulder, and we have to get over the stigma and the fear of how we're going to be treated in the pro shop. And if we're not treated well and we're not offered the same things that the guys are offered as far as fitting and demos and stuff like that, then we have to, as you say, we have to put our foot down and we have to ask for it.
Yeah.
And if this guy on the floor that you're talking to isn't willing to give it to you, then you go to his manager. And if that manager isn't willing to give you what you need, then you leave and you take your money to another store. I mean, it's really truly that simple. As much as we can, you know, be angry with the industry and chastise the industry for not treating us well enough, it's really also very much up to us to start demanding it and start asking for it and start using the power of our dollar as far as this goes. And we have to stop being the shrinking violet who, you know, only does what we're told in the golf store.
Stina Sternberg, Golf Digest senior editor, is at ShopRite, and we're going to take a break, take care of our sponsors, come back, because, of course, they make this show possible, and we'll talk about ShopRite and the women at the top of the leaderboard, Stacey Lewis, Mika Miyazato, and what is up with Anna Nordqvist. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker, when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're in office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical. Keeping you cool.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Let's do some equipment giveaway. How about some beautiful tailor-made Penta golf balls for the ninth caller? All you got to be is the ninth caller, and you win them. 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. That's the number to call. I follow Stina Sternberg on Twitter, and it's Sternberg. I love your name, by the way, Stina. It reminds me of the Star Mountains. It's really quite, it's a beautiful name. And I think that's how it's translated. Are you there?
That is what it means in Swedish, although I always hated my name growing up, because Stina is sort of like a, I don't know how to put this nicely, but it's like a really old lady's name in Sweden. It was
really?
Me and everybody else's grandmother who had that name. So.
Kind of like Gertrude?
Kind of, yeah. That's a good example.
Yeah, okay. You're at ShopRite. This is an exciting leaderboard with Stacey Lewis.
Yeah.
Mika Miyazato. Now, it was interesting what she said yesterday. I thought it went straight to the point she made about what the LPGA can do to make these events that they play more exciting. She said she loves playing to a crowd, and shooting 65 was fabulous. And I think the LPGA or someone said, then you just need to shoot 65 some more.
Right. It's just that simple. You know, it's fine. There's something going on with the LPGA website right now, or their mobile site at least, where they're saying that everybody's finished for the day. So I'm not sure exactly how far she has gotten so far today. I don't know how many holes into the round she is, but I will say this, that this is the kind of venue that the players love. And part of it is that it's got a great history. This area down here by Atlantic City, on the water, everybody comes out for this event. It's the crowds are great. It's a very, very pedestrian-friendly golf course. You feel like you're literally on the fairway with these players. I actually don't know really how the players handle it because they're so close. You know, it's kind of, it's almost too intimate in a way. But for us, the spectators, it's fantastic. And so when somebody's playing well and having a great round, I'm sure that they're feeling it tenfold in a place like this, where the spectators are so close to the play than they do at another venue. And as I mentioned yesterday in that article that you and I talked about, it's also the shortest venue on the LPGA Tour. So when the weather is benign, which doesn't happen very often, and it's been very windy here since it started, so the scores are actually very good considering that. But when it is benign here, this is the kind of place where you could see really, really low scores. And that's fun. You know, that's fun for the spectators. It's fun for the players. And it's not like it's an easy course even when the wind isn't blowing, but it really is a place where the players get to showcase their ability to create some amazing shot making. Like, you, even though, yes, it's a short course, it's tight, and it's got a lot of funny bounces, and the greens are small, so you still have to have a lot of skill. But it's the kind of place where they really, truly get to showcase that skill. A lot of times these players, in my opinion, play courses that are too long. So they're hitting fairway woods and hybrids into a lot of holes, not par fives. I mean, it's there's not a lot of courses on this LPGA schedule where a lot of the players get to go for two on a par five. And we need to see more of that. You know, I really think that the LPGA needs more venues that are set up like this, where we get to really see what these girls can do and see some great scores.
So instead of them trying to hit very, very long shots?
Yeah, exactly.
So they can actually create interesting shots and get to the hole,
right,
and then sink the putt.
Right.
Yes. It also would probably speed up the pace of play just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's obviously another issue on this tour, just like on the men's tour. But it's one of those things where we're so used to seeing these girls hitting long irons, hybrids, and fairway woods into par fours. And that's not, you know, that's not as exciting as watching what they can do with their short irons and wedges. And again, this tour is looking for PR and headlines and buzz and stars, you know. And if you want to create stars, you got to give them the opportunity to, you know, pull off star-making performances. And that's hard to do when you're hitting five wood into par fours or a four hybrid into every other par four. It's not as easy, because then you really have to be a good putter.
Yeah, I can just hear the guys going, well, yeah, they know they're playing short courses. That's where they're shooting 63s.
But they're not, you know, that's the thing. Proportionately speaking, they're playing longer courses than the PGA Tour players are, if you look at their driving averages. And that's where everybody just needs to lose the chip on the shoulder, lose the inferiority complex. I don't think these girls should be out here to try to prove that they can hit the ball as far as the guys can. That's just, it's just biology, anatomy. We're not built that way. Even the best players in the world, except for, you know, the top five. I mean, you got a few girls out here that average over 280 yards off the tee. But they're an anomaly. The average for the whole tour is 252-something yards. And considering that, they shouldn't be playing courses that are much longer than 6,200 yards. This course this week is playing 6,155. I think that's perfect. Of course, with the wind as strong as it has been this week, they're still not getting to really, they're still hitting some long clubs into certain holes depending on what direction they're playing. But, you know, my point is that if we want more star-making performances, if we want more 59s out here, which is one great way to bring more PR to the LPGA Tour, then let's set it up in a way that allows them, that gives them a chance. Because they have the skill. It's just that if you're always hitting long clubs into greens, it's going to be much tougher to put up good score.
Well, we know it from the men's tour that we don't like watching them struggle. I mean, a certain amount of struggle is fine at the U.S. Open, but it's
right.
much more fun watching them succeed because we get to go out every week and struggle ourselves.
Exactly. Who needs to see that, right?
I want to see
right.
them be spectacular. So
yeah.
it's spectacular. It sells tickets, and it gets people in front of the tube to watch it on television. It just makes sense. I wanted to ask you how, you know, after seeing on Golf World, the cover, Morgan Pressel and Azahara Munoz, this whole thing about being penalized for slow play, when Morgan really wasn't the slow player, it was Atha who was actually the slow player, but it was Morgan who took the penalty. How are they getting along now? They're good friends, are they still?
Well, they both said, I haven't seen them interact at all this week, so I don't know, and neither of them have played well enough to make it into the media center after their round, so we haven't had a chance to ask them any questions, but Aza is playing really well today, played okay yesterday. I would assume that we might see her later, so that'll be the first question I ask her for sure. I think that what happened at the side base was really unfortunate, but from what I could tell, I think both players got over it faster than the rest of us did.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very dividing issue. I've had big arguments in my office with people, my colleagues, who disagree with my position on it. We all have different positions on it. I do think that it was a very harsh way to make a point. I think that's really what the LPGA rules official was trying to do. I think he was trying to make a point. Yes, the group was lagging behind, but it was a semifinal in the only match play event on the LPGA Tour. And it wasn't like they were holding anybody up, except perhaps the TV schedule, which obviously rules a lot of these things. But the way these rules are executed, first of all, I think they should be the same on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. They're not. They're different in pretty substantial ways. And I think that when you look at the fact that Morgan Pressel, if she hadn't parred that par 3 where she got the penalty, if she had bogeyed it instead and halved the hole with Munoz, then she wouldn't have been assessed a slow play penalty because they would have divvied up the time it took her to hit those four shots by four rather than by three. And, I mean, that right there just tells you what a silly rule this is. I'm no expert. I can't tell you exactly what would be the best way to execute a slow play penalty, but that is not the way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you should measure it over the length of a couple of holes, and I think you should look at the circumstances. Morgan, on that hole, even though she knew that she was on the clock, the wind picked up when she was on the tee. She went back to her bag, talked to her caddy before hitting her tee shot, switched clubs. I mean, are you expecting a professional player in the semifinal of one of the biggest events on tour to just go ahead and hit with a club that's in her hand even though the wind changes because she knows she's on the clock? I mean, that's just ridiculous. So I think you need to take those kind of things into consideration. They should have restarted the clock after she picked her new club. Things like that. I mean, there's some subjectivity involved here. And I think what happened, that she went from winning the hole to instead losing it and then ending up completely losing, the wheels falling off her game and losing the whole match, that was incredibly unfair.
I think I agree with you. I think the slow play issue should be dealt with in stroke play. I don't think it should be dealt with in match play, not in a semifinal and a final. I just thought it was very strange at that point.
Well, if you're going to do it, then you better be consistent. That's also my point.
I understand.
They were much slower on Thursday that week, and nobody got any kind of penalty.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Stina Sternberg, great to meet you. I hope you'll be on the show again.
Thanks. Same here.
Okay, good. Okay, we'll be back right after this. We're going to be talking with Dave Shedlowski. Did you have arguments with Dave?
Me? No, actually, he's never in our office. He's always on the road.
He is always on the road. Okay. Aloha. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker, when we return to the Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Rim Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Yes, it is a beautiful day. It's going to be a little bit windy. We'll have some rain. No thunderstorms are in the forecast. They may be, though, at the memorial, and because it's been a very interesting couple of days at Memorial. Dave Shedlowski, the Golf World magazine contributor, also author and editor. His books include Golden Twilight, with a foreword by Arnold Palmer. I think you can pretty much Golden Bear, Golden Twilight. Obsessed with Golf. I need to get this one. Obsessed with Golf, Test Your Knowledge on and Off the Links. It was written with Alex Maselli. And in 2005, the PGA Tour Official Fan Guide. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Well, good morning there, good afternoon, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. This has been very strange. I think you're freezing from what I hear today. Yesterday it was wet, and the day before it was windblown. It's like playing in I don't know, England, Scotland.
Well, it's been, three kinds of weather and three kinds of days. It was it's frankly been beautiful here for over a month, and then just a perfect day on Thursday. Yesterday, cold, windy, rainy. I mean, it was in the high 40s when play was finally done yesterday. Of course, they had to play all day with the rain delays and so forth. And today it's actually quite nice. It's going to get up in the near 70, windy though, and sunny. And the course is drying out. Scores are tough to come by here.
All right, let's kind of set the stage here. We've got huge marquee groups going out, right? I mean, we've got the Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson before we withdrew, and we'll have to talk about that, and that's going to kind of come up with this cell phone issue. We've got these marquee groupings, and people allowed to walk around with their cell phones, and I've heard some interesting stories, like one guy's standing pretty much right next to the guys who are playing professionally. You know, they are the ones that the star, and he's having a discussion with his daughter about where they're going to go for dinner. on his cell phone.
That's probably the one of the more mild incidents. The tour instituted this last year around the 1st of March. I think it was the Honda Classic last year when they first started allowing cell phones, because they felt like they needed to allow people to keep in touch with their family or their office or whatever. They wanted to promote a little more attendance, and I think they're getting that. I think the numbers bear that out this year, that the people are embracing, I want to go to the golf course, I can take my phone, this is great. But what it's morphing into is, well, my phone is not just a phone. It's also a camera and a video camera and all that, which are fine on the non-tournament days, but they're not satisfied in maybe just having access to their phone. They want to use it to take pictures of Ricky Fowler or Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods or Bubba Watson. Putting those players, the marquee players, at a distinct disadvantage because there's cameras going off all the time with these guys, and it's a problem that's getting worse and worse as the weeks go by.
I understand 50 phones, 50, were confiscated yesterday?
That was just in the one group. That was in Tiger's group. I'm not sure overall how many were, but that is exactly what needed to happen, because I don't think a single phone was confiscated after the first round. But, you know, let's be clear, this isn't a Memorial Tournament problem. This is a PGA Tour problem. I knew they had problems at Dallas because Phil played there and had some trouble. Even around the 18th green, for crying out loud, you think of the most visible place at a tournament, the 18th hole with the clubhouse there, you know, all the, you know, the various things that go on with, you know, hospitality and so forth, that people would maybe try and hide their phones. And here, in Dallas, I mean, people just take pictures with impunity with their phones, and something needs to be done. And the way to start fixing it is to start taking phones away.
So what you're saying is, you would have thought at the 18th green, with considering there are certain rules that you're supposed to follow when you do have your cell phone with you. In other words, you're supposed to go to a area where the cell phone can be used, and you're not
right.
Supposed to use it to take pictures.
Well, there's a you know, you're talking about violating the rights holders here, whether it's Golf Channel or CBS or you know, whatever other media is there, as well as the fact that you're intruding on the, you know, on the play itself, and perhaps impacting it in an adverse way.
Right.
So it was never intended, this rule was never intended to allow people to all of a sudden just use their phones as they wish, willy-nilly, for anything they want, to get their own little personal memories and so forth. Look, when Thursday comes around, if you need to access your phone, you step away from the golf course and you text who you need to, or make a quick call or whatever. That's what it was intended for. It was not intended for people to be taking pictures of their favorite players on every hole.
Got it. So. Now, Bubba Watson was with Phil Mickelson, and was it Ricky Fowler in that group as well?
Correct.
And Bubba afterwards blamed, because when Phil Mickelson said he withdrew from mental fatigue, did you buy that, or do you think he's so politically correct? I mean, Phil could be a politician if he wanted to be. Do you think there was more to it than mental fatigue from a vacation and playing a lot?
I mean, if I were guessing, I would say yes, but I'm not supposed to guess. I can only read between the lines like you, and figure that he may have had a level of frustration because of the fatigue, that in another situation, if he were perhaps feeling better, you know, the situation with the cameras or whatever, maybe, you know, wouldn't have bothered him.
Yeah,
I think the fact that he was fatigued, I really believe that he's telling the truth there, but maybe he just wasn't able to handle things as well, concentrate as well, with all that's going on, as opposed to in other venues and other situations.
I completely agree with you there. I think if he'd been feeling stronger, he may have been able to do the Phil smile, the hi, and let it go. But and then Bubba just came right out and said he really doesn't like them. Do you think they should be banned again? Do you think that's even possible?
No, that's one of those cards, you know, the horse has left the barn kind of thing. You know, attendance is better because the tour has allowed people to access their phones on the golf course. I mean, the only place you can get away with banning cell phones is at the Masters, because the Masters, let's face it, nobody is going to sacrifice access to the Masters tournament for, you know, because they can't get to their phone. I mean, this Masters is just a naturally separate thing. It's so special, and everybody wants to be there. At a regular PGA Tour event, they are getting more people at these events, and it's because people don't feel like they're cut off for 4, 5, 6, 8 hours from their phones. It's part of, you know, who they are and what they do, how they conduct business, how they keep in touch with friends and family and so forth. And it's just part of our lives now and so forth. But let's face it, the tour has to find a way, and I think that obviously confiscating phones is the way to do it. Look, if the threat of losing your phone for the day is out there, then I think you probably use it with a little more discretion than if you just say, well, I could do what I want with it. Nobody's going to do anything. I'm going to record this, take this photo, and talk on the, you know, talk as long as I want, right by the ropes. I don't care who's taking the shot. So, no, I think the tour is right in doing what they did. They just need a better enforcement mechanism.
It must be interesting for the Europeans and the Asian players when they come over, because I understand that it's much more chaotic. in those venues where people are absolutely, you know, that's probably why Bubba Watson was uncomfortable in Europe, because people were so oblivious to, you know, this is a professional player, he wants quiet, and we should all be very reverent and stop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're totally irreverent, and they don't care, and they do whatever they want, you know? And he's like, wait a second, this is not what I expected. We also didn't expect Rory McIlroy to miss three cuts in a row.
Well, no, I don't think he did either, obviously.
You were following him yesterday, right?
Yes.
And what was your impression?
Well, my impression is that I think he's not really all there mentally. I think, you know, it was a situation where he's kind of taking his eye off the ball, as he said himself, and he's, you know, now trying to find his game after maybe just, you know, letting it go a touch as far as the concentration on it and practice and so forth. His body and his arms are out of sync. He doesn't know how to stop doing it. He's fallen into some very bad habits. Shocking for a player of his caliber, but it happens. And I think he's just kind of in one of those funks they would get into from time to time.
Oh, let's just get down to it. It's that girlfriend.
Well, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think he has to find that happy medium between, you know, following Carolyn Wozniak's career and wanting to be with her, and also trying to be the best golfer in the world, which he clearly is when he's playing close to his best. He doesn't even play his best. He just plays close to his best golf. Rory's probably the best player in the world. He's just not even playing close to that, and it's just it's shocking. But I think he'll be just fine. Give him another couple weeks. Let's see what happens. Right now, he's in a bad place.
Someone said that it looked like, you know, he's, and this threw me, because I do consider Rory McIlroy a professional player, a very high caliber, number one in the world, he may be. But they said that he's still learning and making questionable decisions. And I thought, wow, you know, that's true. He's only, what, 23?
Yes.
And we expect him to know everything that a mature golfer would have experienced and known. Like, when he went in the rough to try to come out of the rough, it ricocheted and went in the water. He even said that he made some bad decisions. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I think that just speaks to the fact that, you know, he's not all there mentally. He's not thinking clearly. His strategy is not as good as, you know, as it could be. So when you're not thinking clearly, you're costing yourself shots, and that's how you make high numbers. It's, you know, you couple that with he's not making good golf swings, and, you know, what do you have to fall back on if you're not thinking clearly and you're not swinging well? You know, sometimes you can not swing well, but if you're, you know, your mental approach is good and your strategy and you manage your game, then that's something else. And then you can kind of get by. He's just not there at all. And yeah, he's making some really dumb mistakes.
No, tell me again what you think is wrong with his swing. His arms and his body they're not in rhythm.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I think his lower body is way out ahead of his arms are lagging behind. It looks like he's, you know, he's getting stuck in that tiger, you know, way that, shots are going right, they're missing left, they're going all over the place. You just see that there's no timing to it, that natural, beautiful rhythm that he has, and it's causing unpredictability and where he's going to miss. You can play if you know where you're going to miss. Even Jack Nicklaus made sure that he didn't miss left. If he knew he wasn't going to miss left, he could eliminate one side of the golf course. Strategy becomes rather easy. So that's what that's what Rory's lacking right now. He's got to miss it both ways.
You've explained it better than anyone so far that I've listened to. Thank you very much for that.
You bet.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Tiger, look at Tiger. I think he's tied for... Well, he's at the top of the leaderboard with Rory Sabatini, who says Tiger's so beatable. You know, Rory Sabatini is never going to live that down.
I don't think he is, and it's going to be interesting. You know, I think one of the fascinating, you know, sort of storylines this week is, you know, Tiger maybe getting his game back again, and we'll start talking about, is he back, is he not back, you know, so on and so forth. Uh-huh. But, you know, he does play certain golf courses very well, and, of course, Arnold Palmer Invitational, where he won earlier this year, you know, is one of them, and Muirfield Village, which is Jack's term, is another. So when a legend is involved, I guess, then, you know, then he's, you know, he can sort of raise his game. I don't know why that is. But it's he's had 72 PGA Tour wins. If he should win this week, he'd have 73. And that, coincidentally, would tie Jack Nicklaus for second on the all-time list. So he would tie Jack at Jack's tournament. And they're kind of fascinating the way that works out.
Yeah, there's also the mental thing about it, right? What he wants to accomplish in his career, beating Jack's major number and now beating him as all-time wins. That kind of gives him that mental to go and get it. But he's also seeming to be a lot more creative. He seems to be playing golf more than thinking golf. Some of the stances he took yesterday to get out of the rough, for instance, that was a very interesting pose where he kind of went down. It was almost like he was doing what is that called when you, anyway, I can't remember the phrase for it. It's, you know, squats. That's it. He was doing a squat in the rough. That doesn't sound good at all. But he just seems to be more comfortable with his game.
At the moment, I would say that's true. But
yes.
whether there's consistency there, that's what he's been lacking. He's been lacking that for a long time. And you just can't say that one or two rounds or whatever are going to show that he has a full grasp of things.
Okay.
I'm not sold on it. We'll see if he follows up and say wins or finishes high this week, and then gives it a go at the U.S. Open. Then maybe I'll be sold a little more, and so forth. So.
Oh yeah, I think all of us are just standing back and going, "Let's see what happens." Maybe if I don't watch, he'll do great. It's when I'm watching, he falls apart, and then I feel awful. Right now, it looks like the leaderboard is Tiger Woods, Rory Sabatini, and Scott Stallings. Isn't Scott playing with Tiger?
He is. That's a big. That's a big round for him. So we'll see. Scott's been injured for most of the year, a bad rib, and has really played very poorly. Best finish was at Kapalua, I believe, this year. So we'll see how Scott reacts to playing in, you know, Tiger's Den, and of course that is getting tougher by the minute, and with the, you know, all the Tiger fans out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you following today?
You know, I'm going to actually do some writing today, so I'm going to be staying more in here and doing some things and following in more of the press room way, and getting some interviews, talking about the U.S. Open with some folks as they come in from the golf course. So I have a little bit of an excuse. I had a little crack in my fibula. It's making it tough to walk, but I can get around. I have walked a little bit, but we're going to give it a rest today.
You know, I'm curious what rule infraction will be the talk of Monday. Haven't you noticed that... it seems like every week we have something strange happen with the rules. Somebody does something like forget to replace their ball marker or go out of turn when they're going to tee off. Not necessarily a rule infraction, but I suppose it's etiquette, right?
Something strange is, yeah, there's been a lot of little strange things that happen, and it's kind of weird the way that works out. But I think maybe the cell phone thing this week is enough for us right now. We'll see, you know.
Okay.
hopefully that'll be enough.
Well, I hope you get over to the clubhouse. I understand that the milkshakes are the talk of the place. Whether it's, are you a vanilla or a chocolate person?
No, you know, they have these great things, you know, these Buckeyes that we have here in central Ohio, which is from a Buckeye tree, and then there's a confection basically form of that, which is chocolate peanut butter, sort of a Reese's cup kind of thing, but not, it looks like a Buckeye. But they also have a Buckeye shake, which is a peanut butter chocolate shake. That is the shake that people should try if they want to try it. But you know, you gotta be somebody special. Those are reserved for the grill, and you know, it's so you gotta know some people to get in there. So.
I see. Okay. Well,
I've been I've been here for 20, this is what, my first memorial was 1986. I've had enough milkshakes in my day.
Okay. I was going to make a phone call and say, you know, Dave Shalosky, he's a very important person. He's an author. Give him a milkshake. Okay, Dave Shalosky, Obsessed with Golf, one of his books, Test Your Knowledge, On and Off the Links, and Golden Twilight, with a foreword by Arnold Palmer. A real pleasure talking with you, sir.
Very good. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too. Aloha. And we'll be back right after this. We're going to talk Access One. They're putters that aren't supposed to twist on you. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back. Congratulations, Greg Fujita of IAEA. He won our TaylorMade Penta Pearls. That was so much fun. Let's do it again. What do you say? Let's get the ninth caller again, and you can win TaylorMade Penta Pearls. All you have to be is the ninth caller. And the number is 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. You'd like to play around a golf maybe at Volcano. There's a 10.06. Makalei has a 9.16. There's an 8.40, a little bit late for an 8.40, but you can get there. It's an hour away. Or a 9.50 at Poipu, where the IHS group is going out to play. And check this out. At Royal Hawaiian, there's an 11 o'clock and a 12 o'clock and a 12.30. That used to be the Luana Hills Country Club. Now it's the Royal Hawaiian Country Club, where, you know, you got to put together a club of people who just, it's your own little club. You don't have to, you know, incorporate. Just go and have fun. These people are playing the Divot Diggers. They're going out today. I know I belong in that group. And the Builders. So we've got the Builders and the Divot Diggers. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. All right, let's learn about Access One putters. The vice president of Access One and Back Nine USA, where we can get a head cover, a very cool head cover. I saw one. There was a photo taken of it. I think it was from the Patriot Golf Tournament. Very nicely done. Phil Long, welcome to the show. We're having just a little bit of difficulty with Phil's line. Phil, are you there? No. Okay, we're going to, let's see, do we need to have Phil call back in, possibly? Would that be a good idea? Chaz? We're going to try one more time? Okay, in the meantime, of course, we're having some phone issues. Don't you love live radio? It just always happens like this. By the way, on Monday, on June 4th, it's the U.S. qualifying. the U.S. Open qualifying, 11 sites, and 36 holes of golf is played, okay? You have enough time maybe for lunch and to change your socks. 36 holes for qualifying, U.S. Open. You can go find out all the sites and some bios on some people at usga.org. They've got everything there. Hawaii Sam Sir, he'll be at Woodmont in Maryland. He goes up against Fred Funk, Jason Gore. I mean, the names of the guys who are trying to qualify for the U.S. Open this year, quite amazing. Hawaii's Kirk Nelson, Justin Keeley, Isaac Jeffers, Alex Ching. They're going to be at the TPC Harding and Lake Merced. They go up against a field that includes, oh, I don't know, Zach Johnson, who won last week. Let's see, Phil Long, do we have Phil? Good morning, Phil. Are you there? Good afternoon, Phil. My goodness, this is such a shame because I'm really looking forward to talking to Phil about this particular putter. The beauty of Access One, and I've got one at home too. Access One offers the first 100% perfectly balanced putter in the game. That's what they say. And when you use this putter, you'd be surprised. They say that Access One putters are perfectly balanced. They don't open up because of, you know, that balance. They don't open up. So when you take it back, it doesn't come open. That club, little putter face doesn't open up on you. It doesn't go to the right side. And so when you come through, if it doesn't do that, you're going to come through and you're going to make contact with that golf ball and it'll go straight forward instead of hitting it maybe a little bit to the side because, again, it'll open up on you as it goes through because they say it's perfectly balanced. I mean, we need all the help we can get in this game, after all. So they say they accomplish this special feat by pushing the weight forward, and it all works out to their benefit. Your benefit, I should say. And they're using it on the nationwide tour. That's really what I was excited about because it's becoming quite popular now with some of the professional players. So by pushing the weight forward with their patented heel counterweight that for the first time places the center of gravity right on the center of the striking face and perfectly aligns with the axis of the shaft. So that's what we're going to talk about with Phil Long. And I think he's trying to call in right now. Not sure. Do we have any updates on this, Chaz? We can try again. Let's give it a shot. We'd really like to talk with him. No, we're just having serious technical difficulties. All right. I see people are calling in and trying to win the golf balls. Maybe I created the perfect storm by crashing the phone system. You know, it's possible. Radio stations do that by having, and people love winning TaylorMade Penta golf balls. Let's face it. That's just one of those things that gets those phones lit up. Phil, I feel terrible right now. What are we going to do here? Let's just stop for a moment and talk about ladies getting ready for golf because right now it's Women in Golf Month, all June, and what they're doing over at Ko'olina is a really cool idea for women who are a bit intimidated about taking up the game with men in the same room. You know, some ladies don't like to go to fitness centers if there's guys who are working out at the same time. So if you're interested in taking a Get Ready Golf, it's actually Get Golf Ready. If you're interested in taking a Get Golf Ready class with your girlfriends, four women, including yourself, sign them up. And you can set up your own personal Get Golf Ready class at the time of your choice. All you need to do is get in touch with the guys at Ko'olina at the Pro Shop. And the number is 676-5300. So you can have your own time. It doesn't have to be during the scheduled period. I think I hear Phil Long.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, God. Why do I feel like I'm talking on a cell phone? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Third time's a charm, hey?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think I was saying a moment ago, and I want to share with you, as I was introducing you, I was, you know, doing the TaylorMade Penta golf ball giveaway, telling people to call in at the same time. I think that disturbed the phone system. I'll know better. And by the way, the winner of it, because we got nine calls, like, I don't know, it took 30 seconds. Galen Wong of Kalihi, congratulations. You are a winner, and we'll do that again coming up in, oh, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. But first, Phil, I tried to talk a little bit about your Access One putter and the fact that it doesn't twist. And I did a poor job because I was trying to read it off my computer and what you said on the front page of your website, which is at accessonegolf.com. Tell us, why doesn't it twist? Why doesn't it, the club face open up?
Well, the founder of Access One, a gentleman named Luis Pedraza, invented a product called a patent heel counterweight. And what he did is he placed weight in the heel, moved it forward, and then counterweighted it in the toe. And by doing that, he's reduced club head twisting in the entire golf club. It's literally the only putter on the market that swings itself. We make that claim. We show people that claim. And we're starting to get, people in the nationwide tour playing our product because of that, because of the simplicity of the product.
Didn't someone just win with your Access One putter?
Actually, Cannon Percy finished second.
Close.
In a playoff 2 weeks ago at the BMW Pro-Am. He actually probably got the most unlucky break I've ever seen in 27 years of golf and lost to Nick Flanagan. But it was his first week in the bag, and he shot 62 with it in the second round. And then we've also had a 63 by Brendan Pappas this year on the Nationwide Tour. So, guys are starting to really adapt to it out there. But, yes, we were close 2 weeks ago.
Let me ask you this. I mean, we see a lot of marketing and what have you with different clubs and different companies. What's the biggest challenge for a smaller company like Access One to get in and get players to play with your putter?
Well, I think the biggest thing is trial. If we get trial, we feel like we're in a pretty good, position. We don't pay anybody to use our product. We're just not in a position to do that. And we'll let the big companies bite that out. The guys that there's two types of contracts in the PGA Tour. There's a 14 club contract and there's a 12. The guys that have 12 usually let the putter open. Those are the guys we try to target. We know we're not going to get the guys with 14 club deals. The guys that get an opening with the putter, then it's an even playing field for us. And if we can just get the product in their hands, we feel pretty good about what the results could be.
I like you've got two different looks. One is the eagle, which is kind of your standard look. It's like, almost looks like a blade, but not quite. And then you have the umbra, which is the more, I'm not sure exactly how to phrase that, but it has the little back end to it, so you can kind of line up like a lot of putters have done. I'm kind of more traditional when it comes to putters. I like a blade. And so I'm more attached to the eagle. The umbra is, but it does give you that swing to it, so you can see where you're going to come through with a line that's nice. It comes through on the ball, and you can really make, the hand-eye coordination of as much as possible as you try to make contact on the putting green. Which is the most popular of your two models?
It's really hard to answer that question because it's kind of 50-50. Well, not everybody's the same. I mean, I like, personally, I go back and forth. A lot of our consumers, a lot of our tour players go back and forth, too. I mean, currently this week we had three guys on the Nationwide Tour using our product, and they all use the Eagle.
Uh-huh.
Two of those three guys 3 weeks ago were using the Umbra. So, it's back and forth. It's personal preference. The good thing about us is, we do offer multiple products, and we're working on some other products as well. So we'll continue to evolve this thing as we grow. We've got a couple more products in the pipeline right now that hopefully we'll have out PGA Showtime next year that might even appeal to more people. So it's 50-50 though.
Okay, and now tell me, what would you call the Umbra style?
Yeah, I would call the Umbra. It's more of a mid mallet with a padded sightline feature. That product actually, in a publication last year, won best overall mallet and also won best alignment feature. I'm not going to name the products, but there's other products that have been very, very popular in the last 10 years that that product's trying to compete with. It's for the player that needs, help lining the golf ball up.
Mm-hmm.
The traditionalist is going to like the other product better that doesn't need all the busyness of the sightline feature.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. I mean, we can reach both those audiences there.
Yeah, and plus there's some days when you do need that extra help. I can understand why, you know, there'd be a day when I'm going to go with the Umbra. I'll take that mallet because I need a little extra help lining it up.
Right.
So, yeah, that's good. I have to ask you, what do you have in the pipeline? What other products are coming out?
We're working on a mallet right now, and the other product, it'll be more of a traditional look. I can't talk about it, but it's got an amazing technology that we're working on to it. It's something we're really excited about. I wish I could share it with you. Unfortunately, I can't. But it's really breakthrough technology, which we had before with our Eagle in this category. It's going to be another breakthrough technology in the putter category. So it's coming, and it's going to be really exciting.
What's Mr. Pedraza's background?
Lewis has got 25 patents. He's an industrial designer by trade. He's then worked for NASA. He actually did the 3D imaging for baseball, which was the joystick that drove the Mars rover all over Mars. So he's done medical equipment, telecommunication stuff. He's done a little bit of everything. His idea on this product was he was playing golf one day at his club in Boston, and he noticed every putter has got a tendency to flop open an address. So that's where he came up with the Axis One Perfect Balance concept. He spent 3 years developing the product, sent it back and forth to the USGA several times, finally got it through. The putter was introduced 3 years ago at the PGA show, and by Sports Illustrated, won Best in Show product right out of the gate. So there's a real technology here that other companies try to mimic. Where we separate ourselves from them is we're the only company for the next 20 years that puts the center of gravity perfectly center of the striking face in line with the axis of the shaft. Essentially what that means is, when the ball comes up off our putter face, it's not going to skid as much as the other ones are. And, Brad Elder, who's one of our tour players, commented to me actually earlier today, he goes, it's amazing, how tight the ball is to the ground off the putter face of this product.
This is Axis One. Axis One, and it's like on the axis, AXIS One.
Correct.
Golf. AxisOneGolf.com. You can see it. How do we get it? How do we order it?
Go to our website. There's at the top right part of the website, there's a dealer locator. Punch your zip code in, and it'll give you the dealer right there in your area.
Oh, let me try. I'm trying right now.
We're actually not in Hawaii yet. You have to order directly on our website there. But, send it in the works.
Okay. The Aloha Golf Center is a great place to maybe start as a distributor, because they do a lot of different things there, and they're really good people. Joey Tadeo is a very good person, and right in the middle of Honolulu. So just an idea for you, just think about, because it'd be fun to be able to test it, to feel it, to work with it, just to have a couple maybe over at his store so people can figure it out. I love it.
we appreciate that feedback, and we'll definitely reach out to Joey.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Yeah, and now you are also the Back9 USA. Back9 USA is, and I saw this beautiful head cover. Someone took a picture of it. They had played in the Patriot tournament, and William Cuevas, and it was great to see. Did you make those specially for the tournament?
We have two, head covers we did for the Bullets of Honor Foundation. I believe Bill's head cover you saw is actually a product available on our website. It's our Patriot Golf Day head cover, which, Patriot Golf Day is a yearly event that raises money for our troops. And we're a part of that. Every head cover we sell, whether it be at an event or off our website, we donate money back to the Bullets of Honor Foundation, which in turn gives scholarships out to families of the wounded or fallen. We also do a product that for the Patriot Cup, which was their event that was held last weekend. We also make head covers for that event too. But if you go to our website, back9usa.com, that's back9usa.com, the Patriot Golf Day head covers are up on the site. And I'd encourage all of you to take a look at one. It's something that goes to a great cause, and we love giving back to Dan Rooney and Major Ed and and the guys at the Folds of Honor Foundation. That's the least we can do for them for everything they've done for us.
That's great. I really like it. I found it on the website, too.
Right.
If you just let it scroll through, you'll be able to find it and then lock in on it. It's very, very nice. Phil Long, have I left anything out that you wanted to cover?
I'm totally here, so if there's anything else you want to cover, feel free.
Great. We're going to be going to take a break right now and bring Dave Andrews in. He's over at the ShopRite.
Right.
It would be fun to get some of the LPGA players to try your Access One. But we'll probably be making this transition, talking about Pops and Sunshine and the making of a movie, all of all things. So if you'd like to stay with us, you're welcome to do so.
Okay, I will.
All right. We'll be back after this. But first, let me tell you, we are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alaka'i Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alaka'i world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alaka'i Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. Now is Dave Andrews. We've had Dave as a guest inside the clubhouse on a number of occasions. He wrote the book Pops and Sunshine. It's a very moving story about a young woman. She's a 20-year-old professional. She's on the, oh dear, it's no longer the Futures Tour, is it, Dave? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Good. But she has to win the final tournament of the season or give up her dream of making it to the LPGA. And with her father passing a year earlier, her mom and her two brothers back at home, it's difficult financially, as it is for every one of the young women who are on the Futures Tour.
It sure is. It's now the Symetra Tour, they call
the
it.
The Symetra Tour. Thank you. It was an S and it ended with a T, but I couldn't get the in-between parts right. Right.
It's hard to get straight.
Yeah. Pops and Sunshine, you've wanted to make this, have someone interested enough to, it makes a good movie. So tell us, what's happening on that front?
Well, just last week, a veteran Hollywood actor named Gary Hudson, who is now, in the last 2 years, has been producing and directing films in Hollywood, just optioned my screenplay, Pops and Sunshine. And our plan now is to produce it as a major Hollywood film. And if it all comes to be, which we hope it will, it would be the first Hollywood film ever, if you don't count the movie Babe, which was filmed back in the 1970s, it would be the first Hollywood film ever to be golf film, ever to be based on the women's professional game of golf. And I just love that idea, and I think it'd be great promotion for the LPGA and its Symetra Tour.
And so we're going full speed ahead, trying to get the backing down, trying to cast the part and put it all together and make it happen.
I love it. It's absolutely fabulous. And the fact that it's been signed to be a screenplay and the work that hasn't been written, right?
No, I've written the screenplay.
You've done that already?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's what he read. That's what he loved. He read the novel, and then he read the screenplay, and he agrees with me that it's a great golf story, I think. I'm kind of a salesman now for you. You know how that goes.
Of course.
It's a great, exciting golf story, I think, but it's also a great look at human nature and personal relationships and the bond that develops between a young, budding, professional woman golfer and an older man that she happens to meet, and they both have suffered some severe personal tragedies, and they have that in common, and they're thrown together coincidentally, and the story unfolds how they sort of help each other through their personal struggles, and how he helps her to try to make her to make it to the LPGA Tour.
It's a very, very good story. And now you have the already written screenplay. The reason I was going to, a word of caution, is I talked with John Richardson, Dream On,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And he was on the show, if I'm not mistaken, last weekend. And we were talking about, he said that, you know, he was in a huge rush. He thought it would happen 1, 2, 3, like taking 30 strokes off of his handicap would happen in a year. You know, I'm going to have this movie done. It's going to be in a year. It's going to be done. Boom, 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 boom. But all the things that come along, you know, the scheduling of who's got time, which actor can be where, at what time. It's not like they're waiting for you to throw a part at them. You know, if they're...
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a very involved process, which I'm learning more and more about every day, being a first-time screenwriter and a first-time novelist. So it's been an educational experience for me, but we're really excited about it. We're going to try to make it happen as fast as we can, but we realize it'll take some time to get it on the screen.
Okay, so you understand that it's not going to happen next year.
No, you're right. I understand that fully.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because how long have you been hoping to make this happen?
Well, it's been I wrote the novel about four and a half years ago, and I wrote the screenplay soon after that, and the novel was very well received, you know, by the critics and by the readers, and everyone said what a touching story it was. It really touched their hearts, and when I started getting feedback like that, I started pitching the screenplay, because I always thought, I work in television, I think visually, and I always thought this would make even a better movie than a novel, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do.
The visuals, I think, are there, and I think you could really portray the meaning of the story better through a movie. And so I started pitching the screenplay, and I didn't get any response from, you know, I sent it out to dozens and dozens of companies, and you know how they get hundreds and hundreds of screenplays all the time. And finally, just, actually about 4 months ago, Gary got in touch with me. He said he'd read the novel, and he just loved it. And he was just starting the screenplay, but he got wrapped up. He was over in Europe filming a movie over in Europe for like 6 months, and you know how it goes. And finally he got back to me last week and said he'd love to take out the option on the screenplay. So we signed a deal, and now he's actively involved in what producers do. And one of the biggest things they have to do is find the money, find the backers willing to put the money up to produce the film. And, you know, he's got he's been acting in Hollywood for over 30 years, and he's got great contacts at production companies and casting directors and the whole thing. So he's very excited about it. He's taking the lead now and trying to do the business part of it. And he and I are consulting more. We're doing some rewrites on the story to punch it up, you know, make it a little better and a little better. And hopefully we'll have it just right. And we'll be trying to sell it to some major backers as soon as we can. But it will take time.
It's so exciting. I mean, to know you and to have talked to you about your novel and your dreams, and then to see your patience pay off.
Well, thank you. You know, coincidentally, like you said, as you introed me, that I'm at the ShopRite. I'm at the real life experience right now. I'm standing here on the 13th hole of the ShopRite LPGA Classic here in Atlantic City, on the beautiful Donald Ross-designed bay course overlooking the bay, and in the distance is the Atlantic City casino skyline. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day out here, about 70 degrees, nice and sunny. And I'm watching the women, real-life women, who have made their dreams come true. They are now playing on the LPGA, and I know so many of them in real life because I followed the Futures Tour and the Symetra Tour for so many years. I know a lot of the players out here who have made it all happen for them.
I was thinking of one young lady in particular. You happened to become her caddy at a very critical moment. It was when she was in Q school. Tell us about Hannah.
Well, I just watched, I'm following Hannah's group right now, as a matter of fact, and she just putted out for par on her fourth hole of the day. She started on the back nine, so it's the 13th hole. But I've been good friends with Hannah since she was six. She's just turned 20 last month, if you can believe it. She's on the LPGA Tour. And she was 16 years old when I first met her on the Futures Tour, and I met her father at a tournament in Connecticut. And I got to know them and their father, and I saw what a great golfer she was. And we just developed this friendship over the years, with me and her father and me. And last December, she went to the final stage of the LPGA Q School down in Daytona Beach, Florida. And that's where I happen to spend my winters now. And I was there watching, and her father was caddying for her. And after the first round, she shot a very bad score. And he came up to me and said, "Dave, would you do me a favor?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "Would you consider caddying for Hannah for the last four rounds of the Q School?" And I said, "Of course I will, but only if she wants me to." Well, she came walking into the coffee shop 5 minutes later and said, she's the cutest, nicest young girl. She said, "Dave, would you please caddy for me?" And I said, "Of course I will, Hannah." And she got better and better each day and shot better and better scores. She worked her way up from like 65th position up to 14th position on the final day, and the top 20 players earned their LPGA cards, and she finished with a one under par 71 on the final day, and was two strokes good enough to get her card. So she made her dream come true, and I was just thrilled beyond repair to be a part of it. It was such a great experience.
And her last name, you pronounce?
Hannah Yun. It's spelled Y-U-N. She's a California native. She was born in San Jose, and she's lived in Florida, and now the family is living in the San Diego area. Her parents are Korean natives, but they've lived over here in the United States probably since the 70s. And her father's a successful businessman here in the United States. And she is just a phenom. I'm telling you, she's somebody to keep your eye on. She's not playing too well this week. She struggled a little bit with her putter yesterday, and she was four over par. So she's got to make up about, she probably have to shoot about one under par today to make the cut and be playing on Sunday. But I think she can do it. She's a great player.
So it was almost like you kind of had your pops and sunshine moment yourself when you were a caddy, right?
You know, it's kind of like life imitating art there down at Daytona Beach. And, you know, that's what it's all about, really. There are so many great personal stories of the struggle and the dreams and determination and desire and the sacrifice that a lot of these players on the LPGA have made. People don't realize what it takes. It's not just going out and hitting the ball. You have to dedicate your life to it to rise to that level. And these girls that are out here now have put in hours and hours of, you know, and they've scrimped and saved to try to make events. It's an expensive proposition being a professional golfer, and a lot of them can't afford it. And so they have to find ways to come up with the money so they can keep playing, give themselves a chance to make it to the LPGA. And that's kind of what the story of Pots and Sunshine is about. That's one of the elements of the story. And I learned that in real life over the many years of following these Futures Tour. And that's why I fictionalized the story. I thought it'd be a great way to sort of portray what they go through in real life.
Oh, yeah. I there's a couple of young women I follow on Twitter. And, you know, a lot of times it's like, okay, I'm in my car. I'm making the drive, you know, hundreds of miles.
They pay their dues on that Futures now Symetra Tour. They travel all around the country in their cars going from one event to the next, hoping to finish well enough to make it to the top. Well, this year it's the top 10 on the money list. They just increased it from 5 to 10 players now will earn their full LPGA cards for the following year, the top 10 money winners for the season. So they, you know, it's doubled their chances, so they're very excited about that. Gives them a better opportunity to earn their LPGA card through the Symetra Tour.
Yeah, Stephanie Kono, she made it through Q School the same time Hannah Yun did. And she's over at ShopRite. She lost her phone.
Yeah.
And she ordered a new phone, but then one of the caddies in the bus or the car that was transporting them from one place to another, he looked underneath the seat and found it sitting inside the engine compartment. Somehow it managed to get there.
You know, that story, yeah.
It's amazing the things that happen on tour. And on a final note, Phil Long, are you still there?
Here.
We need to get you out there to the Symetra tour, and so you can meet some of these young ladies and show them your...
Well, we actually got some players we're already working with, so, you know, it's I can totally relate to this story, and, you know, we know what not only the future tour, but the nationwide tour as well, what a struggle it is, and, you know, we'll take care of any of those players, not only with Axis 1, but Back 9, too. Kelly Jack, who was a big breaker, actually has actually messed around with our putter, and she wears our Back 9 headwear as well. So, and she, you know, she's another great story. So, I really enjoyed listening to what I heard just now. I mean, it's going to be a really good story when it comes out,
isn't it? I mean, I should send this to you, Phil. I have an extra copy. Yeah, I will. You just need to email me your address, and I'll send this to you. And you can read Pops and Sunshine and get
you can buy it on Kindle, Daniel.
Always the salesman. You know, when did you become a salesman? When you were writing, right? You gotta.
Couldn't resist.
Yeah, I understand. This is great. Before we take our break, in the LPGA Founders Cup in Phoenix, didn't Hannah Yun have an albatross, a double eagle?
She's the first LPGA player since 2008 to shoot an albatross, a double eagle, on a par 5, since Angela Stanford did it in 2008. 31-yard shot with her 3-wood, and it hit it perfect, rolled right up on the green, and just drained right into the cup for a 2 on a par 5. So it's probably a million times more rare than a hole-in-one to get an albatross. So,
and she did it with her TaylorMade RBZ 3-wood. let's throw that one in. Oh, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, Dave. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Danielle. Anytime. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. Aloha. And we'll stick with Phil Long. Some final thoughts from Phil Long after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, or condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Okay, it's the longest day in golf. It's June 4th, and it's 36 holes for U.S. Open qualifying, 11 sites across the country. Of course, we're focusing on where Hawaii's players are and who they're up against. USGA.org has all the sites, and you can find your player. Hawaii Sam Sir will be at Woodmont, Maryland. He goes up against, among many others, Jason Gore and Fred Funk, Kirk Nelson, Justin Keeley, Isaac Jaffers, and Alex Ching. They'll be at TPC Harding and Lake Merced going up against, Zach Johnson and Hawaii's Matt Pakala. Look for Donald, okay, when you go to the site. Donald Pakala is how he's listed, but we always call him Matt. He took a flight to the mainland, missed his connection, slept for 2 hours, caught another flight to another city. It wasn't the direct destination. He's going to Columbus. So he's fortunately not expected to be on the course until Monday, the 4th. So Matt Pakala will be in Columbus. And the field there, Harris English, J.B. Holmes, Pat Perez, Spencer Levine, Eric Compton, John Ha, Rocco Mediate, Bud Cauley, Camilo Villegas. It's like playing a PGA Tour event. These guys, wow. Phil Long, Access One Golf, is with us still. Phil, do you follow men's or women's NCAA golf?
I absolutely do. I'm a Sooner, so even though I didn't play on the golf team there, I grew up around the OU program, and we finished 11th this year. And actually, when I was working the putting green at Colonial, I bumped into Jordan Spieth and again, the kid's name usually is escaping me, but we absolutely follow collegiate golf, and it's as good as there is out there.
Yeah, no, Jordan Spieth was like the pick for individual, right? Everybody's like, oh, he's a shoo-in.
Yeah, it's Jordan Spieth, and it's actually the kid that I forgot. It was Patrick Cantlay, who I believe won the Ben Hogan Award this year.
Yeah.
His coach, Derek Freeman, is actually a friend of mine from my hometown in Edmond, Oklahoma. But tell you what, there's some fantastic young players coming up. And it's American golf's really in a good position right now, and it's exciting. We heard, for a couple of years there all about European golf. But I tell you what, I think we've really flipped the tide, if you will.
Oh, well, it's important that we have the competition going on, that it's like the President's Cup discussion. Well, is it going to be exciting if the internationals don't ever win? And
right.
I think it's fun doing it anyway. As far as I'm concerned, watching them play in some of the beautiful places they go to is a Benny. And they're all great players. It's just how it works itself out. I don't think anything becomes irrelevant just because one side is winning. They talked about the Solheim Cup the same way. And, of course, the Euros came on and beat us, and that was terrific. It's going to be interesting to see what kinds of changes Nick Price makes to the President's Cup, if they're going to be more captain's picks and what have you. Would you change the format? How do we get the internationals involved in the Solheim Cup? All these questions that just, have so interesting, so many interesting answers, but difficult.
I think that we our best event and team golf, in my opinion, is the Ryder Cup. And I think that,
yes.
And I think that we've got to, with every country, whether it's, the President's Cup, Solheim, or whatever, I think we need to copy that model. And, we need to get as many players internationally involved as we can. So, whatever that looks like, it's all about growing the game. And, at the end of the day, it's all about involvement. So, that's how we grow the game, in my opinion. So, whatever we need to do, I think we need to copy the Ryder Cup, and that's just my 2 cents. So,
right, I just want to get another event on the women's tours so that we get Yanni Sen competing. I mean, here we've got the greatest player right now in women's golf, and she doesn't get to play in the Solheim Cup. So, we need to have like a President's Cup, a First Ladies. No, that sounds terrible.
why can't we have a Ladies President's Cup? I mean, why can't I misunderstood your initial question. I apologize, but
that's okay.
Why can't we do that? I mean, there's no reason why we can't.
Exactly.
I'm sure we could find a sponsor somehow. So, I think that's you need to take the lead on that and
go for it. Yes.
Exactly. Why not?
Make a dream come true, just like Dave Andrews did, right? John Richardson with Dream On. Let's all dream on and make them all happen. Phil Long, thanks so much for being on the show with me this morning.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
Access1Golf.com is where you'll find the Access One putter. Check it out. We've got to thank our sponsors. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of your worship. That's right, Poipu Bay. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and yes, sheet metal, whatever you want, whether it's AC ducts, which of course Alakai Mechanical is known for, or a custom stainless steel counter designed and fabricated by the best, Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection, for that is property threat and risk assessment. You've got to find out what your risks are, where you're vulnerable on your property. Then Star Protection can protect you for your home, your business, your concert. Get the Star Team on your property. And Avancé Salon for cut, color, silkening technology, whether it's avant-garde or conservative. Avancé is a place for you. Hawaii Golf News and Travel.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.